This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. Let's talk about the first parliament session under Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri's administration, which is happening later today, because the Yang Dipertuan Agong is scheduled to officiate the opening of the 14th parliament session, and this will be the first time under the government led by under this prime minister, and it goes on for 17 days until October 12th, focusing on issues relating to the country's recovery.
This follows after the political temperature has cooled down with the formation of a new government under Dato Sri Ismail Sabri, and it will likely kick off with the election of a new Dewan Rakyat Deputy Speaker to replace Dato Sri Azalina Othman Said, who had resigned earlier. So far, two names have been mentioned as nominees, namely Pontian MP Datuk Sri Ahmad Maslan, who is the candidate from the government bloc, and Teluk Intan MP Ngah Kor Ming, who is Pakatan Harapan's candidate. In addition, the focus is also on the possibility of a motion related to the legitimacy of the Prime Minister being brought at this session. However, de facto Law Minister Datuk Sri Wan Junaidin Tunku Jaafar had earlier said that there was no need to cast a vote on a motion of confidence.
So for more on this and other related issues, we have on the line with us Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamad, Research Fellow at Ilham Centre. Good morning, Doc. Now, let's start with the Deputy Speaker nominees. What was the rationale behind the government bloc going with Ahmad Maslan as their candidate?
I think I lost my word, actually, to explain the rationale behind the nomination by government bloc to nominate Ahmad Maslan as Deputy Speaker, because I don't see any good reason to nominate someone who are facing a court cases to hold a very distinguished position in the parliament. I think the sanctity of the parliament is being jeopardized by just nominating him. And I do believe within the government bloc, there is many others who have a strong legal background to be appointed or to be nominated as deputy speaker. So I don't. This is more, in my point of view, as a concerted effort from the UMNO to really much give a fresh look or fresh start to the court cluster in the new government.
Well, he seems very keen on the job because he released a 20-point manifesto that would push for a deputy speaker. And one of the proposals was to create a third deputy speaker post for the opposition. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it is interesting. I think he published that, I think, a couple of days ago in the mainstream newspaper. Yes, I think, but I normally it's just we only need two deputy speaker, which in my point of view it depends, and no need for us to appoint one just specifically for the opposition. I think this is where, in my point of view, what he tried to do is very much to become a very populist approach in regard to a deputy speaker. But believe me, deputy speaker is not a populist. A popular position. It is someone that can hold the sanctity of the and the running of the Dewan Rakyat. That's all. That's what matters most. Someone that must have the respectability of the members of the parliament. This is where, in my point of view, where Ahmad Maslan will be very much short in terms of that respectability from other members of the parliament for him to sit there and give instruction to them. And I think that will create chaos in the Dewan Rakyat.
So, Doc, you mentioned that there are others who are qualified to be deputy speaker other than Ahmad Maslan. What names do you see?
I think I'm interesting, Shaolin, because for me, I look it more on the gender. I prefer someone, a woman to hold a position. Masura Yazid, for example, is currently the deputy minister. He also have a very strong legal background, and many others, which in my point of view, especially women within Barisan Nasional or Perikatan Nasional, they can hold the position. So for me, as long as someone who have no tarnished with the court cases should hold the position in the Dewan Rakyat.
So what do you expect in Parliament over the next few days? Because the last sitting was truly raucous. So do you expect any contention between the government and opposition?
Looking at the current, I think the latest development, where even this afternoon, government will sign what they call MOU now between the government and the opposition about the seven proposal of the institutional reform submitted by Ismail Sabri, which So because of that, I do expect for a couple of days, the parliament will be a bit quiet when it comes to that, to show some courtesy because of the Dato' Agong speech and others. But I hope that parliament will continue to have a strong and robust debate about the running of the country.
Meanwhile, the 7 reforms proposed by Ismail Sabri, which includes the limiting of tenure of Prime Minister to 10 years and even the anti-party hopping bill, seems quite promising, but it's pretty much similar to that was proposed by former PM Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. Do you think that will be improved on, and will it get the bipartisan support it needs to be passed in Parliament?
At a glance, looking at all the 7, it's very much, it's not about, I think it's all the same as proposed by Muhyiddin Yassin. But we never know because so far from what we gather from the media, there is some other details that was need to be ironed out between the two. And the Pakatan Harapan leadership promised that they're going to be transparent, that they're going to reveal all what they agreed on the MOU. With that, in my point of view, yes, it is very important for the developments of institutional reform in Malaysia. But most important thing, in my point of view, at this particular moment, is about policy delivery. Is about service delivery to the people. I think that what matters most. So with that, Parliament must play its role. And members of the Parliament must play its role that how the government serves the best of their effort to the people.
Now, I want to shift our attention to beyond the Parliament, to politics now, because Tan Sri Muhyiddin did say that PM will make a comeback and he will contest in G15. How likely is this, and do you think Muhyiddin intends to make a comeback as PM as well?
I think it's going to be very difficult for Bersatu, and in fact for Perikatan Nasional to survive without Muhyiddin being the Prime Minister. Remember, I think why Bersatu can sustain after they left the Pakatan Harapan simply because of the position of Muhyiddin as Prime Minister. Without that, in my point of view, there is not much thing that can carry out Bersatu. Survival of Bersatu, in my point of view, is going to be very tough, leading to the general election. It's definitely now Bersatu is at the mercy of UMNO, not only in the federal level, even in the grassroots level, in my point of view. With that, the only hope of Bersatu is to claim with PAS. Even PAS, in my point of view, now have to think very wisely, who are they going to associate with? Because obviously, working with the government of the day will give advantage for PAS. And with that, in my point of view, UMNO have a better hand compared to Bersatu to court PAS to be in the group.
So, Doc, how messy will be seat allocations in the next general elections then?
Well, I think that's a very interesting point. I think it depends on how the coalition going to be made. Even even with that, in my point of view, it's going to be a big messy between, especially, remember, because most of these party were contesting in the same areas, especially in the Malay Muslim majority areas. So with that, in my point of view, it's going to be messy. This is where I think Muafakat Nasional fail in the first place, because they can work in the top level, but in the ground level where the real power is still struggle. And I don't think any parties have managed to solve that, even with Bersatu and PAS. So with that, in my point of view, it's going to be very messy. And that will decide who is going to work with whom, I think, in the next general election.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at Ilham Centre, ending the conversation, reminding us that GE15 is going to be a messy, messy affair, especially when it comes to seat allocations, because they're fighting for the same constituencies.
It will be.
And on the same platforms, almost.
It will be exciting, Shaoning. There will be lots of fights and political manoeuvring. And this MOU is fascinating for me. And I wonder, right, whether there's non-binding terms into this MOU. Because, you know, when corporates and businesses sign MOUs,
it doesn't mean very much.
It doesn't mean very much, right? It's non-binding. You just have to make sure it follows the governing law of Malaysia and such, right? But when will this MOU break? Will it be a function of those political reforms that don't take place?
Yeah, and does it actually curtail Pakatan Harapan as an opposition that will be that important check and balance? Questions that we will need to ask later on and hopefully get answers for. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.